I have been failing to mention to you and remind you that the messages, the outlines, and the text is on the YouVersion app. Now, I will confess, I have failed in that in the last couple weeks, all right? But it is up there for you today. So if you have the YouVersion app for your phone, you can find, just go underneath there. At the bottom, you can click on, I can't remember what it's called right now. Somebody help me out. Events, thank you. All right, so it says events. Click on that and then look for our church name, and then that will be there for you. See, the people that use that know that, and I couldn't remember, so thank you for that. So if you would please turn your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to continue on in our series, Pursuing Christ, and we will be in this series for a few more weeks, and I want to just remind you that, you know, it would be good for you, if you don't do this all the time, especially when we're in a series, maybe take the time throughout the week to read Philippians 3, to really study that for yourself, look into that, and see and prepare yourself for what God has for you on Sunday. So Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in verse number 12 through verse number 16. You follow along as I read. The Word of God says this, not that I already have obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Now, I know some of you weren't here last week, but last week we looked at the fact and studied the call of Christ on our life. And in that message, we talked about three foundational truths that are necessary in our pursuit of Christ. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to review those three foundational truths for you very quickly before we move on today to the first essential attitude that I believe must be woven into our lives as we pursue Christ's likeness. Now, I will say this. This message this morning, now don't fall down off your chair, has one point because this is the first part because we're going to park on this for a few Sundays. And not just on this one, you know, verse or two, but we're going to continue on. So I want us to know that there is definitely something here that we need to observe, that we need to pay attention to when it comes to the foundation on which we pursue Jesus Christ in our life. Now, when I say pursue, I'm not sure what comes it, you know, to your mind. It's really just kind of another way of saying that you and I are following Jesus Christ. What it does mean for you and I to follow him with our lives. So when we consider that, these foundational truths are very much a basis for that pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here they are, very quickly. Number one, we looked at the fact that the call of Christ is a divine calling. Paul says, Christ has made me his own. In other words, the divine call of Christ begins with the power of God to make a spiritually dead person alive in him. So when God calls us to salvation, he brings life out of death, right? He makes us a new creation, and it is his work from start to finish. So it is a divine calling. Then number two, the call of Christ has purpose. The purpose of God is to do what? To make you and I more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we're following him with our life, the goal is that you and I would be more conformed to the image of Christ. It is all about that goal of Christ's likeness. And we looked at Romans 8, 28 and 29. I just mentioned it to you, read those verses for you last week. And that talks about the purpose that God has called us to. And then number three, the call of Christ is personal. And what I mean by that and what we saw last week is God places an obligation on his children that you and I would press on to make this calling our own. Jesus Christ has called us, right? He has made us his own. And now you and I, in pursuing Christ, we're to make that him our own in following after him. And so because God has called us and he's given us a purpose, what must you and I do? And you might say, well, duh, I know this. You and I must obey him, right? That's how we follow him. And as I've already stated, these foundational truths must be embraced in order that we might move forward in these messages so that we might have the essential attitudes that are necessary for pursuing Christ. So that's why I say that to you this morning. So what I want to do now is I want to turn our attention to the charges of Christ that form the proper mindset, because we got to get our minds right, right? We got to get them where they need to be in a proper relationship with Christ. And so it helps us form this proper mindset so that we will faithfully pursue him in our life. And so the first one is this. And as I said, well, man, you're probably thinking, if there's only one point, we're going to be out of here in like 15 minutes. Wrong, okay? Because there's a lot to this point. All right, so the first one is this. The first essential attitude that we must have for following the Lord Jesus Christ, pursuing him with our life, is this. We are never to be satisfied with spiritual mediocrity. Let me say that again. We must never be satisfied with spiritual mediocrity. Look at verse number 12, because this is really where we're going to park this morning. Mostly, let me read it again. Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So when we talk about not being satisfied with spiritual mediocrity, the first thing that ought to be really applied to our lives in considering this is that we have to be honest about our spiritual growth. Do you agree with that this morning? We've got to be honest about our spiritual growth, because what we see Paul doing is this. We see Paul looking within his own heart, and he realizes, and he says it right here for us. He says, look, I am not perfect. I am not perfect in Jesus. I have not already obtained this. And so you might remember last week we mentioned the fact that earlier in this chapter, Paul warns the Philippians about the Judaizers. Well, the Judaizers were false teachers, because what they wanted to do is they wanted to combine good works with faith or the grace of God in order that they might be righteous and then accepted by God. So Paul says, listen, don't be like them, okay, because that is false teaching. That is not what the Bible teaches. And they thought as long as they were able to combine good works along with the grace of God, they would be able to achieve spiritual completion, or I could say it this way, spiritual perfection. Now we know it is only by the grace of God, right? Through faith alone that we become a child of God. So we know that faith is not by works. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9. It's not by anything that you and I do. So Paul, what does he do? What we talked about last week in verses 5 and 6, he reminds us, or he gives us this idea of what his earthly credentials were, if I could say it this way, kind of like his fleshly resume, what that looked like, because Paul thought that all those things at one time in his life before Jesus would obtain him favor with God. And he knew, after meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, that was not true, that all the things that he once valued in his life that he thought was important for him did not do what he thought it was going to do. And they became, and he says this, they became refuse to him compared to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were waste. They meant absolutely nothing to him. So then he goes on, he says, listen, it is being clothed in the righteousness of Christ, not being clothed in his own righteousness, right? And he takes it a step further, even in verses 9 and 11. He says, look, I am willing to give my life even for Jesus now. But yet he tells us in verse number 12 that I have already, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. You see, in spite of all these tremendous truths and what Jesus has done for him, Paul still says, and remember, we're talking about the Apostle Paul, someone that you and I look at when wrote most of the New Testament, we would hold in high esteem. This is Paul himself, and yet Paul says, I have not yet become perfect. In other words, I still battle my flesh. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Or let me say it this way, it ought to sound familiar for you and I. Because that is why we so desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we need his perfect sacrifice. We need to be clothed in his perfect righteousness to forgive us and to cover our sins. And as I said, Paul was a changed man after he met Jesus. Everything in his life had been turned upside down forever. And so now he sees, doesn't he? Just like you and I, when we came to Christ, we see with new eyes, right? The scales have fallen off. We see who Jesus is, and now we see this relationship that we have with the God of heaven. Because Paul says, listen, I'm no longer under condemnation, but now I'm reconciled to God. I'm reconciled through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His identity, he says, is not found in all these earthly and religious credentials anymore, but they are in Christ. See, what we must understand this morning, folks, is this fact. All that we are in Christ, and I want you to think about this, the change that has taken place in your life and in my life, all the things that we now enjoy in Christ are secure now and forever. And so that means this, our identity is found in Jesus. Amen? And only in him, or it should be. In other words, if you and I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are incredibly blessed, aren't we? We are incredibly blessed by all the gifts of grace that God provides us in salvation as his child. Listen to some of these things that God has done for us. In case you have forgotten, because this is part of following Jesus. We have new birth, and we've been given a new heart. We have been given the imputed righteousness of Christ. We have been pardoned of our past, present, and future sins. We have been baptized into the body of Christ. We no longer, check this out, have sin reigning over us. We have a new Lord of our life. We have been adopted into the family of God, and we have joined in this eternal union with the Lord Jesus Christ, haven't we? If we are in Christ, we enjoy all these graces, all these blessings that God has given to us. But yet we still have a battle, don't we? And so, even though we enjoy these things and we enjoy these blessings and we walk in these things, I must caution us, though, this morning against two wrong responses to these blessings of grace. Because remember now, we're talking about not allowing our lives, spiritual lives, to be mediocre. And so we think about all these blessings, all these things that God has done for us. Paul obviously has written about them time and time again, but we must be careful, and there are two reasons why. Number one is this, we must be careful not to allow ourselves to fall into apathy or complacency that has the attitude, and check this out and see if maybe this has been you or is you in your life right now, thinking to yourself, oh well, in other words, I'm not what I should be, but one day I will be in heaven. So, Pastor, why do I need to pursue Christ's likeness now? Why do I need to worry about that now in my life? When I enjoy all these blessings that God has given to me, when I know one day in heaven that I'm going to be perfect, why is it important for me to do so now? Because the Bible tells us the opposite, quite simply put. The Bible tells us how a Christian is supposed to live for Jesus now. And if you and I fall into that attitude or that mindset, you know what happens to your life and my life? Our spiritual lives become stifled, don't they? In fact, our spiritual lives become stagnant in our pursuit of Him. In other words, if we're saying to ourselves, well, you know what? I'm just going to kind of give up and I'm going to throw in the towel. Man, it's almost like I got my ticket to heaven to punch. I'm good to go. I can do what I want to do. Not so, my friend. You continue, as Paul tells us here, that you and I are to press on. So we can't fall into that mindset. Here's the second reason why. We must also be aware of being too easily satisfied in our pursuit of Christ-likeness. See, unfortunately, some believers feel as long as they run down a list of do's and don'ts and abide by them, then they have reached the spiritual pinnacle of their life. Well, I don't do this, and I do this, and I don't do that, and I do that. And we go on, and we think to ourselves, well, I've done everything that I need to do. I've reached the top. I have arrived spiritually. So what else do I need to do to be more like Jesus? I know a lady in a church, not this church, who asked the question when she came to a particular church, so, where are the rules? And I'm thinking, that's kind of sad. Because, in other words, that was her idea of Christ-likeness. It's a sad commentary because what it says is this. It says that I have the ability to follow the rules. It says I'm going to be self-reliant. And as long as I can follow the rules or be legalistic, then that is good enough for me to follow Jesus. It goes back again, folks, to what I said just a moment ago. It's like checking the boxes. Okay, I do this, I do that, or I don't do that, I do this. I'm good. See, Paul already let us know, didn't he, in the earlier part of this chapter. He said, look, I had all the religious credentials. In my life before he met Jesus, he's saying, I've done everything I possibly could have done to have a right relationship with God and to know Christ. And he says, I've done that by achieving all these self-righteous rules and all these religious achievements. But instead, now since he's met Christ, and for us since we've met Christ, it's not about the achievements, it's not about the rules, it's about our relationship, and it's about that fervent love and that obedience that you and I ought to have to please God and to glorify God with our lives. That's what it's about. See, that's the pursuit that you and I ought to be on. That's what we should be doing and going hard after the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I say to us this morning, there is a great need, my friends, for us to grasp the reality of our much-needed spiritual condition in order that we might be able to pursue Christ passionately in our lives. We need to be honest about our spiritual condition. And so what does that call for? You say, well, okay, you say I need to be honest about it, and I think we all know what that means. But that calls for this. It calls for daily self-examination. It calls for us, if I could say it this way, it calls for you and I to daily do a heart check in our life. Where is or what is my relationship with God like? Where am I at in my spiritual life? And as we examine our walk with Christ, are we honest with God and ourselves about our relationship with Him? Are you honest before the Lord? Now, you say, well, the Lord knows my heart. Well, of course He does. He's the Lord. But when you come before God and you are checking yourself, you're examining yourself, are you being honest with where you are? Are you making excuses? Or are you trying to deflect? Are you trying to blame? Are you honest with God where you are? In other words, are we being honest with Him and where we are in pursuing Jesus with our life? Now, I love many things about the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to have you turn to Romans chapter 7, if you would, please. Because Paul himself, who says, hey, I'm not perfect, I haven't arrived, but he talks about the challenges of his own spiritual journey of being more like Jesus. So let's read verses 19 through 24. And some of you, this will be a familiar passage. Romans 7, 19 through 24. He says this, "For I do not do the good I want." Have you ever felt that way? Boy, oh boy, I would hope so. We probably all have felt that way at some point in time in our life. "But the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." You ever felt that way? See, and I'm going to read the rest of it in a moment. See, that is a start of being honest, right, with God. That shows us what Paul does in his own spiritual life, in examining his life. He says, look, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Verse 20, "Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." And he asks this question, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Wretched man that I am. Wretched woman that I am. A sinner. Who will deliver me? Verse 25, right? "But thanks be to God." That's where it comes from. That's where we gain the victory. That's whom we set our sights on. This is exactly the honest self-examination that you and I ought to be doing in our own life. That we realize without the grace of God, the love of God in our life, the mercy of God in our life, we are completely lost without Him. That we understand where our strength comes from. We understand who we are to depend on. That we are totally dependent on the grace of God that does what? It works in and through our lives. And folks, without it, we are spiritually bankrupt. Every one of us. We need the Lord Jesus. Because we are incapable of serving Him and pleasing Him in our own flesh. So you know what that means? Again, it calls for transparency. It calls for you and I to be transparent that, yes, Lord, you know what? I love you. I want to serve you, but I still have this flesh. I need your help. I still have this sinful nature. These members, you know, on me, they don't want to do right. And so what do? We turn, we recognize, and we're transparent about our struggle with sin, and we need to embrace the awesome power of God's Spirit, because it is the Spirit of God that does what? The Spirit of God is what conforms us and transforms our lives to Christ. See, we cannot pursue Christ on our own. We cannot think that we will succeed on our own. I love the miracle of Jesus when he filled the disciples' nets, because we see something that Peter says that is very interesting. And he fills the disciples' nets with fish. And in Luke chapter 5, we read the response of Simon Peter, who recognizes the fact that he is a sinful man as he witnesses the awesome power of God. Listen to what he says in Luke 5:8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What is that? That's humility, isn't it? That's the attitude, knowing that who he is and who God is, and how awesome that God is, and to know that as you and I pursue the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the same kind of attitude that you and I ought to have, humility. And as we partner with the Holy Spirit of God, we allow him to do his work in our lives, because as I said, we cannot do it for ourselves to be more like Jesus. We love God, then we pursue the holiness of God. Listen to what John writes in 1 John 2, 3 through 5. By this we know that we have come to know him. Listen to what he says. If we keep his commandments. Following Jesus, right? Pursuing Christ. Obeying God. He says in verse 4, whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? It means that we follow, and as we follow, we obey God, and is how we pursue Christ, and that is how we become more like him. It is not by some sort of osmosis that takes place in our life. It's not like you going home and laying your head on the Bible and it's like osmosis takes place and all of a sudden, bing, I'm like Jesus. It doesn't happen that way. But it is that day-to-day falling. Yes, is it a struggle? By the way, let me just say this to you this morning. The struggle is good. You say, well, what do you mean by that? It means you are in Christ, because if you were not in Christ, there would be no struggle with your flesh. So it's not that believers are perfect. If you're thinking that this morning, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what Paul has written here. It's not that we are perfect, but it is our need to recognize that we must kill sin, that we must pursue holiness that will make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. John MacArthur said this about this passage. He said, it's so good. This pursuit by the power of the sanctifying Spirit produces a decreasing frequency of sin and increasing love for holiness, which makes less sin feel like more. I love that. He goes on, the truly mature and godly have the most sensitive awareness of their sins and are the humblest before God because of it. That's that pursuit. So we have to be honest, right, with God about our spiritual condition. If we're not going to tolerate spiritual mediocrity in our lives, we've got to be honest where we are, but also, if we're going to be honest, and we should be, as I said, that ought to energize you and I then to never stop pressing into our spiritual growth. In other words, we never stop this pursuit. Listen to the last part of verse number 12 again. Listen to what Paul says. He's already made it so clear. I haven't attained this and am already perfect. But listen to what he says, folks. But I press on. In fact, I would encourage you, underline that. Highlight that in your Bible. To make it my own, because Christ Jesus has done what? He's made me his own. See, true believers will never pursue Christ passionately until they recognize their need to always be growing in grace. Do you know that never ends? George, has that ever ended for you? No. That never ends. It isn't like you reach a certain age in your life and that all of a sudden you say, well, I get to stop now pursuing Christ. I'm just going to put it in coast and just go along life yippee-skippy, so to speak. You know, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. It doesn't end. So you and I just being aware of the need of spiritual maturity is not enough. Well, Pastor, I'm aware of it. That's not enough. Paul understands this. He knows he has a long way to go, but he doesn't sit back and he doesn't do nothing about it. Notice he's not whining. He's not having a pity party. He doesn't complain. He tells us, he says, look, I'm going to press on. Oh, man, do I do the things I don't want to do? Oh, absolutely. Am I struggling with my flesh and my sin in my life every day of my life, it seems like? Absolutely. But Paul says, I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep going. Press on means an aggressive endeavor. So when I hear the word aggressive, that means it's proactive, right? You're aggressively pursuing Christ. In fact, it is the picture behind this word is like a hunter that pursues his prey. You know, when you think, I don't know how many of you guys hunt. I've tried. Not been successful. It was more about bonding than anything else. But some of you guys might be hunters. And you know, as a hunter, you are diligent about it. You know you have to be in order to get what you are hunting. So when you're a hunter, it takes time, doesn't it? I mean, how many of you guys have sat in a deer blind freezing to death for hours because it just, that's the nature of it. It takes time. Or some of you ladies, forgive me ladies, because ladies hunt too. It takes patience. And it takes a diligent pursuit in order to finally get that prey that you're after, whether it's a deer, a rabbit, a squirrel, I don't know. So what does a hunter have? A hunter has this drive in them. Even though they don't get their kill, year after year, they continue to go out. Have you ever talked to anybody like that? Man, I'm still waiting on my first deer yet. And this guy's been hunting for 10, 15 years. And he still hasn't gotten his deer. But he's still going out. Isn't he? Or she? They're still pursuing it. When you see these words to press on, that's exactly what Paul means. It is this type of vigor and energy that he's referring to when he talks about the Christian life. He is going to press on. It does not mean that we strive for Christ's likeness, though, on our own, as I've said. Rather, what are we doing? We're transparent, we're honest about our spiritual life, but we are also totally dependent on the Spirit of God who works in and through our lives. We have to be. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He talks about his own dependence on the Spirit of God in pursuit of spiritual maturity. He says this, but he said to me, talking about Jesus, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly, listen to what Paul says, of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I'd say this, it's good for us to live weak in dependence upon God. I mean, the world tells us exactly the opposite. But when it comes to our walk with Christ, we live weak because we know we need to depend upon God and the Holy Spirit in order to conform us into Christ's likeness. Listen to Colossians 1:29. Paul says this, for this I toil at this, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Does that sound like somebody who's given up? Does that sound like somebody that's kind of like, you know, half-heartedly pursuing Jesus? Somebody that comes to church every now and then, or maybe attends a Bible study every now and then. Does that sound like that kind of person? No. He says, I toil and I struggle with all my energy that he powerfully works in me. He had to be determined, right? He had to be obedient to aggressively pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. So every day, folks, we have to decide when we rise from the bed that we are going to choose to obey God in order to make us more like Jesus. Every day, isn't it? It's a challenge. As soon as you wake up, within an hour, Satan attacks, or you sin, or you don't do that good you want to do. What's going to stop you from pursuing Jesus? Are you just going to say, well, it's too hard, I can't do this anymore? Are you just going to say, well, you know, I know what Paul says, but I'm not Paul. I can't do this thing. Yeah, you can. Because God powerfully works in and through your life as we obey him. And so it is what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:12, we fight the good fight. Because it is a battle. It is a struggle. We do have an enemy that is, by the way, real. And wants to do everything that he can to destroy your life and your family's life and the life of your church at every possible turn. So it is a fight. See, it's not something, and I think we know this, it's not something you get from attending a conference or reading a good Christian book. Those things are helpful, they're encouraging, they are great. But if that were the case, if we knew, like, if we said, hey, you know, over in Waterford next week, there's going to be this conference that you can go to. And if you go to this conference, you're going to be instantly like Jesus. We'd all be like, I'm going. I'm running there, man. I'm going to get there as fast as I can. It's not so. It's that daily pressing on, isn't it? That's what's required. Because, folks, there's nothing quick about spiritual growth. It's not a quick fix. We live in a culture today where everything's fast. Moves right along, get what you want, you open your phone, get the app, order your food, boom, there it is. I'm on my way to pick it up. But when it comes to your spiritual life, when it comes to pursuing Christ with your life, it is not a quick process. It is a lifelong journey. It requires diligence and it requires endurance that you and I trust Christ all along the way. And I love in 1 Corinthians 3:1-2, Paul gives us a view of this process. When he talks to the Corinthians, he says, look, some of you are babies in Christ. Some of you need to grow up. But what's he saying? He's saying this too. It's a process. You need to become more mature. You need to move on from the milk of God's word to the solid food, to the deeper truths and the principles of the word of God and apply those truths appropriately. So it is this process of growing from becoming, when we first saved, a baby in Christ to maturing into an adult in Christ, so to speak. I mean, we don't offer an infant a T-bone steak, do we? Nor does a new believer start out trying to master, you know, which if you can do this, it'd be amazing, but master the teachings on the Trinity. So, child of God, let me suggest a couple practical principles that flow from the pages of God's Word on what it means to press on. Let me take this a step further and see if we can provide some more help here so we pursue Christ faithfully. Number one is this. To press on means that you must be focused and purposeful in your mind daily. It's a daily pursuit. It means, believer, being intent. Being in tune with the Spirit of God by obeying Him, bringing Him great glory with your life. And so what it requires is we see the importance of this holy calling. That we understand that we have been called, right, to follow Jesus, to pursue holiness in our lives. And as we see that, that we are actually gripped by that. Because, folks, we don't live to serve ourselves, do we? We serve and daily press on to pursue Christ's likeness. We serve Jesus. Number two, to press on means, check this out, because this is so important. There must be physical, mental, and emotional energy spent daily. You say, my goodness, well, what does that mean? It means this. We can't be distracted by the other 100,000 things that are going on in our life that lead us away from following Jesus. Are you with me? We get our priorities all messed up sometimes, don't we? We go like crazy sometimes with all the stuff we got going on. Busy, 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 go, go, go. And all the while when we're going and going and going and busy, 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 we leave behind Jesus. Well, see, if we're going to press on, it means we have to be physically, mentally, emotionally engaged in that pursuit. We're not called, listen, to run aimlessly in a billion different directions, but we ought to be focusing all our strength, all our energy on knowing Jesus Christ better and making Him the center of our life. In other words, everything else flows out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That means your job, your relationships, your play, everything flows out of the relationship that you share with Jesus as a Christian. You don't put Jesus on the back burner and say, well, today I go to work. Jesus, you just kind of stay there. I'm going to work today. No, you take Jesus with Him, right? Because He's in you. You're still pressing on, man. You're still being that testimony. You're still obeying God. You're still glorifying Him, even when you're on the job. Because our pursuit of Christ will never take care of itself. We must constantly stay focused, and we must stay focused on the means of growing in grace. And let me give you an idea. You may say, well, what does that entail? Here's a few thoughts for you. Attending the services like you are now today at church, having personal time with God, reading His Word and praying, growing in the knowledge of God's Word, bearing the burdens of the week or bearing the burdens of one another. While you're here at church, growing in grace is ministering to one another. It is evangelizing the world for Christ. It is daily putting our sin to death. All those things, and there's even more. We don't have time, but there's even more that I can mention. All are part of this pursuit. Say, wow, that sounds exhausting. I don't know if I can do that. Well, you can on your own. Can't. That's the reality. That's part of being honest, by the way. But you can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, pressing on in our pursuit of Christ. As I said, it's nothing that we can do on our own. What do we need to be able to do that? Man, we desperately need God's grace. We desperately need His mercy. We desperately need His strength. We desperately need the wisdom of God to be able to do that and to do it well for His glory. Trying to press on in our flesh, listen, if you're trying to do that, you are going to be exhausted spiritually. Trying to press on in the flesh sets yourself up, it sets me up for failure and defeat. But see, it goes back, folks, to that total reliance upon the Lord, right? It's that total communication with God from His Word, you praying to God, asking for His help, saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Paul knew that. He said, I can't do this thing on my own. And so when we pursue Christ, we have to remind ourselves that we are never going to be satisfied with spiritual mediocrity. That we're going to go from this place today, even now, we're going to go and we're going to hopefully say to ourselves, with God's help and by His grace and with His strength and all these things the Lord provides for me, His blessings in my life, I am not going to settle for mediocrity in my life as I press on. It's done. It's over. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of my flesh. I'm sick of my sin, even though I know I got to deal with it every day, but I'm tired of it. I want to pursue Jesus, and Lord, please help me do so. Now, when you determine that, get ready, because the struggle gets real, real fast. Because you still have a foe. You still have your flesh. So you could walk out of here today saying that, and stumble and kind of fall a little bit, and then think to yourself, I'm just going to throw in the towel again. That's not the life that God has called us to, my friends. That's why Paul says, press on. I say to you, press on. If you determine today that you're going to do that, that you're going to press on, and tomorrow comes and you mess up really bad, then get back up again and press on. That's what I'm saying. Continue to faithfully follow Jesus. I'd like to end today with a few quotes from believers, really heroes of the faith, who understood what it meant to never be satisfied in their spiritual pursuit of life as they pursue Christ. In fact, I think you'll hear in these quotes the honesty before God in their walk with Him, but in that honesty, as I said, that honesty ought to energize us, and it energized them to continue to press on for the kingdom of God. One of my favorite heroes of the faith, Martin Lloyd-Jones, well-known pastor from Britain, says these words, "In the matter of our righteousness and justification, we can never say too often that we do nothing. We can do nothing. That is entirely the work of Christ. But once we are saved and given this new life, then the progressive work of sanctification," listen to what he says, "does not call for passivity. We are exhorted to action." David Livingston, famous missionary, said this, very short, "I'm willing to go in any direction, provided it is forward." Amy Carmichael, "Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointment tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me," and I love the word here, words are so important, "let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God." Folks, that is what it means to press on. May God help us to do so ourselves. May we recognize today and be honest, as I said, with ourselves, and we say, you know what? The Spirit of God has revealed some things to me. I'm going to obey, and I'm going to continue by God's grace to press on. May we do that. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, so much for this day. Thank you, God, so much for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the honesty of Paul, a man whom we probably think never struggled with his flesh or never had any battles, but Lord, we know better as we look into your word. But he has said, and he encourages us, he pressed on to make it his own because Christ made him his own. God, help us as your people to do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.